If you would all stand, we're going to read a verse of scripture. And I'm not going to go to any of the traditional Christmas verses in the Bible. I thought about reading from Luke the way that they had quoted from it, but they did that so good I don't need to do that. I want to go to just one verse of scripture. And many of you know the story of Jacob. And Jacob had wrestled with the angel and changed his name from Jacob to Israel. He had 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jacob is getting ready. He's old and he's getting ready to die. And he talks about each one of his sons, 12 sons. And the things that he says before he dies is actually prophetic. The things that he says comes to pass in each one of them's lives. And verse 10 is one of the early Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah, which would be Jesus Christ being born. And it says this. You got to realize this is a full 1,500 years, over 1,000 years. I don't know exactly here. This is well over 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. Well over 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. And it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. He's talking about his son Judah. He had a son by the name of Judah. And that word scepter was like what a king would carry, kind of like what they would rule with. And so when you say scepter, you're meaning ruler. And it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. Kind of says the same thing again. Until tribute comes to them, to him. And to him shall be the obedience of all the peoples. And then we learn later on that this prophecy was never fulfilled in Judah or any of the sons that were under him. But over 1,000 years later in Bethlehem, there was a baby born that was of the tribe of Judah. And his name was Jesus Christ. And this prophecy was fulfilled in Christ. And so if I can just take about 15 minutes today, probably no more than 15 minutes. And I want to talk about Old Testament prophecies and New Testament fulfillments. Amen. This is more than just a nice story. You're going to see that this was being planned by in the mind of God from the very beginning. And so let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, we're so thankful for your word. And we do not come to your word lightly, but we come with to your word with reverence and respect today, God. And we know that it is your word that gives us, that shows us the way. And we ask that you would open our minds, open our hearts, open our understanding, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm just going to dive in and some of these prophecies you will be very familiar with. Others of these prophecies you will be less familiar with. But you will remember the old story of a prophet that was kind of not really a true prophet. He was kind of, if you want to call him a false prophet, that'll be fine, because the Bible actually refers to him as a false prophet. But I think a lot of you grew up in Sunday school knowing the story of Balaam and how Balaam was basically a prophet for hire. He would say whatever needed to be said from whoever is giving him money. He was just in it for the money. And the king had hired Balaam to curse the Israelites. And this king wanted to destroy the Israelites, and he hired Balaam as his personal prophet to prophesy destruction over the Israelites. And you know how Balaam was going to go and prophesy. And you know the story of how he hit his foot and his donkey, how he hit the donkey with his cane. We know that story. And one of the things that was interesting about in Balaam's life is that a lot of times when he would have visions, They really weren't visions at all. When he would have these visions, it was something that he was making up in his head. He was a fake. He was a fake, and he knew he was a fake. He was a phony, and he knew he was a phony. But he said this in Numbers chapter 24, verses 15. It says, and he took up his discourse and said, the oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is opened. In other words, Balaam said, listen, this time it was real. This wasn't something I was making up. This wasn't just me making this up. This time it really happened. It says, the oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered. And then here's what Balaam saw. Over 1,000 years, or close to 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, Balaam said, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter or a ruler shall rise out of Israel. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but it's not near. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. But there's going to come a day a star is going to come out of Jacob. I believe it was this prophecy that some people held on to and got passed from generation to generation to generation in an oral tradition, as they would call it. And you look in Matthew chapter 2, it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men. We know the story of the wise men. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star. Can you see how 1,000 years earlier, God gives a man, not a good man, not a righteous man, but he gives this man a vision. And he goes, I see not now and not near, but I see there's one coming and I see his star. And then that gets passed down. It gets passed down. And finally, these men come from the east and they say, where is he who is to be born king of the Jews? For we saw his star. You know, it says in 2 Samuel, you remember David was king of Israel. And when David was getting old, God told him, says, when you your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And you say, well, that was talking about Solomon, because David's son Solomon did reign after David's death. But that was never fulfilled in Solomon. That was never fulfilled in Solomon. I could go in and give you a long Bible study on that, but I can just suffice to tell you that was never fulfilled in. But if you look, he told David, he says, one of your sons is going, I'm going to establish his throne, and it'll be established forever. Look at the very beginning of the New Testament. Very beginning of the New Testament, the very first book is Matthew. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the very first words of the New Testament. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. That, my friend, was a fulfillment of the promise that God made to David all those hundreds of years earlier. God made the promise, and God kept the promise. Isaiah chapter 7 says, therefore, the Lord himself will show you a sign. Isaiah wrote this 700 years before the birth of Christ. Before the birth of Christ, 700 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah wrote this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So 700 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah said a virgin's going to conceive. In other words, it would be a miraculous birth. And in Luke chapter 1, an angel had appeared to Mary and said, you're going to give birth to a baby. And Mary, in verse 34, said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? Or as it says in the original Greek, since I have not known a man. And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Isaiah prophesies it. 700 years later, you see the fulfillment in Christ. You know, O little town of Bethlehem. Da, 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 da. I'm sure there's several here that could do a much better job of singing it. You notice Sister Wiggins did most of the singing and I did most all the playing. Find out that people like hearing us a whole lot better if it works that way. She does the singing, I do the playing. I mean, not that she plays very, very good, but my singing, it's just like, well, just play that guitar if you don't mind. But Micah was a prophet. And again, this is hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. And in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is the ruler of Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. This prophecy that Micah gave says, Bethlehem, you're the place that he's going to come from. You are the place where the Messiah is going to be born. And it says in Matthew chapter 2, Herod assembled. He was kind of the ruler, the governor of that region. And it says, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he, Herod, inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written of the prophet. And then they quoted Micah chapter 5, you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. You look, I'm going to have to skip one because I don't want to, I've already gone longer than what I said I was going to go. So I'm just going to have to let me skip some of these and let me just say that sometimes even events that occurred in the Old Testament were prophetic. Do you remember that story about when they were, the children of Israel were trapped down in Egypt as slaves, and God was going to liberate them through the hands of Moses. And God told Moses that they needed to put blood on their doorpost and put, and that because death was going to sweep through Egypt that night, and the only homes that would be spared would be the one that had the blood on the doorpost. And he said, it's going to be a Passover. It'll be a Passover. You will not be harmed. And when the destroyer comes through, and it says in Exodus chapter 12, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish. The lamb whose blood gets shed to cover that doorpost has to be a lamb without blemish. And then the book of Hebrews in the New Testament boldly declares that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. And it says in Hebrews 9, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish unto God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You know what? I'm able to lay my head on the pillow at night and go to sleep and have peace in my heart. Amen. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has given me a good conscience toward God that I would not have had any other way. Amen. And that Passover lamb, was just a type and a symbol and a prophetic showing of the true lamb that was to come, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, I've got three or four more of these. I'm just going to do two more. I've got like four or five more. I'm going to do two more. In Psalm 78, now if I ask you this, when somebody knows the answer, go ahead and holler it out. What am I reciting here? A sower went forth to sow, and while he was sowing, some of the grain fell along the wayside, some fell on stony soil. Matthew, but what is that? Okay, a parable. What if I was to say, a certain man had two sons? That's a what? It's a parable. How about the mustard seed is the smallest seed among trees, but parable. How about, here's another one. It's about food. I love food. One of my favorite parables. That a woman had a big ball of dough, and she went and took three measures of leaven and put it in. Does anybody, what is that? That's a parable. In fact, let me tell you what the Bible says about parables. Let me tell you, if you look in Matthew chapter 13, speaking of Jesus, it says, all these things Jesus said to the crowds in parables. Indeed, he said nothing to them without a parable. Why? Look at the 78th Psalm. Psalm 78, verses 1 and 2. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. This is Messiah, prophecy of Messiah. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings from of old. This was a prophecy saying that when Messiah would come, he would speak in parables. And Jesus is giving all of these parables, and people don't understand. He was fulfilling Old Testament prophecies, proving that he himself was Messiah. The last one that I want to go to today. It says in Isaiah chapter 35, again, I already told you, 700 years before Christ, speaking of Messiah, that when he would come, one of the ways that they would know that this was the guy, because there were many false messiahs, many guys saying, hey, look at me, I'm the guy. Everybody follow me. But the way to know that the real Messiah was, it says in verse 5, it says that when the true Messiah comes, then the eyes of the blind shall be open, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing with joy. That was going to be the authentication of who the true Messiah was. And if you look in Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist, things hadn't worked out the way that John the Baptist thought they would work out. He was proclaiming that Messiah was coming, and he thought it was going to work out real good for him, but he ended up in prison. And it says, now, when John the Baptist, heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, and notice the doubt that has gotten in John's heart. Here he is sitting in prison thinking, man, all I was doing was proclaiming that Messiah would come, kind of being his forerunner, and now look at what it's done. I landed in prison. And it says that he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? John was saying, Jesus, are you really the Messiah, or should we look for another? And Jesus answered them and said, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have the good news or the gospel preached to them. Jesus was saying, listen, there's been others that claim to be the Messiah, but they never had the signs following them to authenticate them that I have had. The last thing I'll read today, in fact, you can all stand. That'll give you a little bit of hope. Going back to Isaiah, and I don't need to say how many years he lived before Christ because I've already said it 3 or 4 times today. But going back to Isaiah chapter 61, there's only 66 chapters in Isaiah, so this is toward the tail end of his writings. Isaiah wrote of Messiah and said this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to, again, bring the good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives. It says in Luke chapter 4 that he, Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And guess what scroll he asked for? The scroll of Isaiah. We just got done reading Isaiah 61. And it says that the scroll of Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. This would be Isaiah 61. And he quoted word for word, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." And if you'll skip down to verse number 21, it says he began to say to them, today, this scripture, Isaiah 61, today, it's fulfilled in your ears. Jesus was saying, I am the guy. And he says, I've come to set the captives free. If you're bound, Jesus is saying, I'm coming to set you free. If you need liberty, if you're bound by sin, I've come to set the captives free. And I will tell you right now, I am a man of many flaws and many imperfections. And the only thing that I can do is point you, not to me, because I'll mess you up. If I can point you to Jesus, if I can point you to Christ and just said he came to set the captives free. He came to bring liberty. He came to heal those that were bruised. That's him. If I could do anything else today, if I could just lead you to him. Let's worship the Lord. God, I'm so thankful for you. God, I bless your name. Oh, Lord, I thank you, God. Blessed be your name, oh God. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, you are so worthy of glory and honor. Let's just take a few moments. We're not going to take long, but this is just for all of us or anybody that wants to come. But we could just kind of gather around the front and just kind of stand around. And Sister Wiggins is going to just sing a little song or play a little song. And let's just spend a few moments just kind of in contemplation of the word of the Lord. These verses that we've read, the scriptures that we've read. Let's let them soak deep down, not in just into our minds, but in our hearts today. Let's spend a few moments. Worship the Lord today. God, I thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, we are so thankful for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So I want to thank everybody.